It's time!
Hey, Dave, listen up, please.
Sometimes a warrior just has to kind of lay down on the ground for a minute, just stay there for a second and have a good bleed.
But what are you waiting for?
I don't know, something amazing.
Matt, for maybe the win.
Gafford, buckle up! Oh!
Welcome into the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America.
I love it.
Presented by Whole Hog Sports, Seth Campbell, joined alongside the amazingly stunning Scotty Bordelon.
That's too nice.
No, I tried. You know, they can't tell if I'm lying or not because this is a podcast.
Yeah, they really can't.
All right, Scotty, the Razorbacks moved to 8-0 after a victory over Austin Peay. Well, I mean, generally speaking, what are your observations so far from this team as they moved to 8-0?
Gosh, just general observations. Like, I think at the beginning of the year, turnovers were an issue. I think Arkansas had 21 in their season opener against Rice, and then against Austin Peay, some of those turnover troubles kind of reared their head again. Mason Jones had a career high 6 turnovers, and Jalen Harris also had 6 turnovers. Both of those were career highs for those guys. And we also saw some pretty interesting calls that went down as turnovers. Like Mason Jones was called for carrying right. And then Jimmy Witt was called for a carrying violation. And then 2 of Isaiah Joe's 3 turnovers. He had 2 turnovers really early in the game. They were both traveling calls, which is really unlike Isaiah. And I don't know if it was like a lack of focus or what, but it was just odd. Like that was one of the sloppier games I've seen this year, like throughout college basketball. Like what were their 41 turnovers, 42 turnovers in the game?
I have the numbers right here, and there were 41.
41?
Combined.
That's sloppy. And then you add in the number of fouls that were called. Arkansas was up close to like 12 or 13 in the first half.
40 combined fouls, yeah. 21 against Arkansas, 19 against
Austin. 41 turnovers, 40 fouls.
Terrible.
Yeah, there's no flow to that game at all. And I went back and rewatched the game for my shot charts and stuff this morning. And, dude, it took me almost 2 hours to get through it just because of all the whistles and whatnot. But
mind-numbing.
Yeah. Arkansas's got and I think Eric Musselman mentioned this in his postgame after Austin Peay. You know, after they get through Western Kentucky on Saturday, which is a huge game, Arkansas's got a chance to go to 9-0 for the first time since 93-94, which is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And if you win that game, you can build some steam against a couple of the teams coming up. You got Tulsa. Very winnable. And then you got Valpo and Little Rock. And so if you win those 2 games, dude, you're headed into Indiana. What would that be? 12-0?
Yeah.
That would be, or 11-0. That would be huge. But after they get through Western Kentucky, Arkansas's got 3 games over the course of 3 weeks. And so Arkansas is going to go back to kind of that training camp theme and practice like they did before the season, where they're really getting after it on both ends and going back to fundamentals and things and trying to clean up some of their mistakes. And they'll go hard Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, leading up to those games on Saturdays. And they'll kind of back off a little bit Thursday, Friday to get their legs back underneath them. But I think that's a pretty good idea and a kind of a big point of emphasis as you start to creep toward conference play.
I think that the break for this team and not having, you know, like you said, having 3 games in 3 weeks, I think that will do them good. Musselman, as you said, going back to this training camp mentality, it seems like Arkansas started off the year knowing their identity, knowing that they had to play defense, knowing that they had to be just a tenacious team and pay attention to detail. And then as we've gone along in these games, it seems like that has steadily slipped away. They won a big game against Georgia Tech, and it almost, you know, I don't really have any basis to back this up, but it almost seems like this team's like, okay, we won against a Power 5 team. we don't maybe have to pay as much attention to detail against an Austin Peay. And that's not true. This team is not talented enough.
Or Northern Kentucky either. They just had a guy drop 30 on them.
Yeah, this team is not talented enough to take nights off. And
or
I think,
deep enough, you know what I mean?
And I think Musselman has done a decent job. And I think what this training camp is going to do is going to refocus these guys. And he's going to be able to get through to their heads that, hey, we're going to go hard these 3 days. We're going to play one game and then this final push of non-conference before they get into conference play. And then once you hit that conference stretch, there are no easy games. Like, there are going to be better teams. That some teams in the SEC are going to be better than others. But once you hit, you're playing a Power 5 team every single week, two of them every single week. There are no off days. And this team has to play the best it can in order to win games in the SEC.
For sure. And, I mean, you get through Western Kentucky. And you got Tulsa and Valpo ahead. Those are kind of maybe tune-up games. They're like your last tune-up games before, like, the biggest game of Musselman's early coaching career at Indiana. That's going to be a really interesting game. And Indiana's playing well. They're 8-0. They just beat Florida State by 16 on their home floor on Tuesday, too. So, but one of the, like, you kind of mentioned it, too. Like, Musselman talked about after the Austin Peay game that he wants a little bit more consistency from their guys. Like, defensively, you said they came out the first four or five games, and man, it was almost stunning if somebody scored on them or a loose ball, a 50-50 ball. Arkansas didn't come up with it.
I mean, we were amazed when people were scoring over 20 points and a half.
Right. They held, what, their first two or three opponents under 20 points in the first half? The last couple of teams have scored at least 30 in the first half, which is, I don't know if that's alarming, just because Arkansas wasn't playing anybody like those first two or three games. And these like Austin Peay's not a bad team. They've got the preseason conference play of the year on their roster, and Terry Taylor and Northern Kentucky, Dontez Walton. I'd be surprised if he probably didn't win conference player of the year in that league too. But they've got to find some consistency defensively, like got to grab those 50-50 balls. I think Austin Peay did a pretty good job of corralling those, and it led to some, you know, some scramble points, some open shots, some good looks from three. We say that, and at the same time, Arkansas hasn't posted a defensive efficiency rating this season above 90.
Wow.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Like last night or against Austin Peay, Arkansas's defensive efficiency rating was 87.3, which is good. Against Northern Kentucky, it seemed like they kind of slipped defensively. It was 89.2. Like this team's still playing pretty good defense for the most part. But like I said, those loose balls, coming up with those loose balls and offensive rebounds. Austin Peay was an interesting team because they're really good attacking the offensive glass, but they also give up a bunch of offensive rebounds. And we saw Austin Peay kind of come up with some second chance points. I think that's kind of the difference in holding a team to 61 points or holding them, you know, 50, 55 points.
Yeah. I thought that Austin Peay was one of the smaller teams that Arkansas has played so far this year. And you know, they still out rebounded the Hogs 30-27 in this game. So I thought this was an opportunity for Arkansas to hit the boards a little better, but still, Musselman knows that that is not going to be his team's identity as rebounding the ball. They are going to take them when they can get them, and it's a fantastic addition to the team with Jimmy Witt because he is a fantastic
leads the team in rebounding
from the guard spot,
yeah,
which is just absolutely crazy. But I think that this team, as you're saying, the thing that worries me about this team so far in the past two games. You know, Musselman had a huge emphasis on not letting star players have star games. In the past two games, star players have had, you know, star games.
Yeah.
Walton, as you said, put up.
He was great.
Over 30 plus.
Yeah.
And the Northern Kentucky head coach.
Matt Figger.
Figger was.
Awesome. Darren Horn.
Thank you. No, you're good. Darren Horn said that he believed that they had the best player on the court with Walton, and I believe they did too.
And that night, for sure.
Walton was fantastic on the floor. He had over 30, and then Terry Taylor comes in, puts up 20, and that's right around his average. But still, like these guys, Musselman's big focus at the beginning of the year and was pounding into these guys' heads was not to let star players have star games. In the past two games, star players have had star games.
Yeah, and Terry Taylor, you know, he scored 20, he's got a game-high 20. I thought he settled for some shots. Like, he finished 1 of 5 from three, and I remember really early in the game, he took a really deep three from one of the wings, and it just clanged off the other side of the backboard. And Kiko Hadar, I thought made a good point. He was one of the most physically impressive guys on the floor, probably the most physically impressive, and he kind of hung around the perimeter maybe a little bit too much. You know, outside of his three-point shooting, he was 8 of 11 inside the arc. And so, I mean, he was pretty much getting whatever he wanted in there. Arkansas did a pretty good job of, you know, I don't know. I don't want to really say that they did a good job on him because he did finish 8 of 11 inside the arc, but didn't let him get to the free throw line. I didn't think, you know, he finished with 6 rebounds and, let me see, how many of those were offensive? He finished with 2 offensive rebounds, so I thought they did a decent job keeping him off the glass.
Yeah, and as you said, he only went to the free throw line once.
Right, but he was pretty efficient, I thought, you know, just outside of some errant threes. You know, he hit, I think, maybe his first three, and maybe he got a little bit shot happy after that. But Dontez Walton, too, Arkansas is just that. I think it's kind of that prototype of player, like that 6'6", 6'7", solid frame, can kind of make things happen on his own, create his own shot, get to the rim off the bounce, that kind of thing. Maybe can step out beyond the three-point line. Arkansas had a little bit of trouble with guys like that, and they're going to see quite a few of those in SEC play, so they've got to get some things shored up.
Which I guess could be helped by the addition of Jamario Bell. He's a guy that's got a semi-similar physique, and even if he doesn't come in and play, which he's really not expected to come in and play in the games,
right,
Arkansas can practice against that at least.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know that Jamario's his offensive game, you know, a week after playing his final college football game is in that great of shape.
Yeah, getting a few tackles against Mizzou.
We have been told that, you know, his jump shot looks pretty good. So, I mean, he was brought in, and Musselman kind of talked about it. He was brought in kind of as a practice player, and he can absolutely be a guy. You know, Reggie Chaney, he acted as, gosh, who was it? A guy earlier in the year. He acted as a player for one of the first few teams Arkansas played. I figured Jamario can kind of act as one of those guys, you know, coming down the stretch. And I wouldn't be surprised if they did that with, you know, kind of game planning for Terry Taylor. I mean, they're similarly built, I think, and Jamario's got good size. So it'd be interesting to see how he's used. I know we might talk about that a little bit later, but pretty interesting addition to the squad.
That's a good tease. We can talk about a little bit of Jamario a little bit later. We also mentioned earlier the Indiana game. We're going to talk about, you know, Arkansas and their schedule leading up to that Indiana game. But before we get to that, how bad did this team miss Mason Jones when they had to play Northern Kentucky without him?
I mean, he's another guy who can space the floor. And, you know, I've been tracking everybody's shot charts. Mason scored 18 times inside the lane. So he's not just like a one-trick pony, like he's going to stand out. He really loves the left wing. If you look at his shot chart, it's remarkable how often he shoots from three. But that's his comfort zone. It was last year. But he can also get to the rim. He can take you off the bounce just as easily as he can take that three-point shot. And his aggressiveness, while he might not score every time off the bounce, he's going to get to the free throw line too, and we've seen that he's money at the line, regardless of how his shoulder's feeling, whether it's 70% or not. You know, he knocked down, 6 out of 6 against Austin Peay. Having him back was big. I mean, it's just another threat on the perimeter, another ball handler. Defensively, I think he's done an okay job. My only concern is, like, his turnovers. He had 5 against Georgia Tech, and then he had a career-high 6 against Austin Peay. He's just got to be a little bit more heady and aware that and just kind of prescient and know, like, when the right time is to, you know, drive baseline. I think maybe against Georgia Tech, I remember a time where he caught in the corner, shot fake, drove baseline, and he didn't even get a shot up because he just trucked a guy who was trucked a Georgia Tech defender who was standing in the lane. That kind of thing can't happen. Turnovers are going to happen. Like, it's just, it's going to happen, but limit those. Like, you can't be having five or six a game. That's going to get you sat on the bench pretty quick.
Yeah.
Because Musselman, he talked about it after Austin Peay, he only wants nine. He only wants the whole team to have nine. So
Mason Jones to me seems like Musselman's project in a way of, he's a fantastically talented player.
Yeah.
Musselman would love to have him out on the floor 35 minutes a game, but there's just stuff that Mason does that will cause Musselman to put his hands in his head and go sit down on the bench and just shake his head.
And he does some things that'll make him sit on the bench for the last 13 plus minutes against Texas Southern. And the last, I get that he sat him for like the last seven plus against Austin Peay. That was more for foul trouble, but he still got in foul trouble and he had turnover issues. So
it's like one of those things of Musselman pounds into Mason's head, hey, we're going to do it like this, we're going to do it like this, do it like this. And Mason will play, you know, 25 minutes like that, but then 10 minutes of Musselman going, what are you doing out there?
Yeah, there's just some of the growing pains, I think. And, you know, I think he's challenged Mason to be a leader. Like, it's just point blank. That's what he said after the Texas Southern game when he sat him. He's got to see more leadership from Mason. You know, when things go wrong, he can't be the one that's got his head in his hands and mulling over what just happened. You've got to continue to play, put it behind you, because that next play after the turnover you just make could be a difference maker. Like, that could be a huge play that maybe swings the game or puts Arkansas in a position where they're comfortably ahead and can cruise to a win. So I think just continuing to play with your head up and with confidence, show some leadership. And I thought when he sat out against Northern Kentucky, he interacted a lot with his teammates. I know before the game, he normally does, he daps everybody up at the scores table. Even though he didn't play, he still did that and did that with his teammates before he found a spot on the bench. So I think he's growing. It's just, you're going to have some nights where it just doesn't go your way. We say that, and he still scored 16 points and had a pretty good night.
Yeah, he was, what is he, 1 point away from leading the team in scoring?
Yeah, Jimmy had 17.
Jimmy had 17, he had 16, and Isaiah had 16. So, yeah, when he has his off nights even with the turnovers, he's still leading the team, and he's
still makes great contributions.
He's an integral part. This team is going to go just as far as him, Joe, and Witt, I think, can go. And they're going to need big – they're going to need big performances from Adriel Bailey, Reggie Chaney. Those guys are going to have to play good defense all throughout the season, and they're going to have to bring an inside presence. But Joe, Jones, and Witt are going to determine how far this team can really go. And if they are going to be that tournament team that, you know, people have kind of put their expectations to be a tournament team right now. With the 8-0 start, you know, everybody had expectations were kind of low, you know, maybe make the NIT, but all of a sudden you start 8-0 and you're just feeding a monster now.
Yeah, I saw on our message board that ESPN's predicting Arkansas to win like 22 games and go to the tournament. And I'm like, maybe, but like we're 8 games in and you haven't played the, like Georgia Tech was probably the, out of the 3 non-con games, like the big non-con games, Georgia Tech was probably, you'd probably rank them third.
Yeah, the easiest.
Western Kentucky's probably second. Indiana probably head and shoulders.
And then you got to play also TCU at home.
Yeah, that's true. That's true in late January. Uh-huh. But I'm going to take a wait and see approach. I want to see this team continue to defend well away from home. They did that pretty well against Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech, though, is not a great offensive team, but credit to them. Like you mentioned, the Arkansas kind of limiting star players. They held Michael DeVoe, who was the co-ACC player of the week. After he scored 34 on Georgia, they held him to like 12 on 16 shots. It's pretty solid. If they can, you know, if they can limit Western Kentucky's guards, they've got some couple guards that can score that scored 20 plus points on Austin Peay back in early November. They've got a shot. But there's still Charles Bassey's still there. So
yeah,
still a challenge.
Charles Bassey is going to be interesting. I want to see how the Razorbacks defend him and how that game goes with Arkansas on the road. I think this game, win or lose, I think will be beneficial to this team.
Yeah. Yeah. You played pretty well at Georgia Tech. Offense obviously wasn't as efficient as you'd like, obviously, with going almost, 10 plus minutes without a bucket late in the game. But defensively, they were good. You want to see a continuance of the defense traveling.
All right, Scotty. Well, it is this time in the podcast. We're going to play a game, and I'm not going to make you fill in the blank or true and false this time. This time, we're going to do a game called Playing the Percentages.
Let's play the percentages!
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Never tell me the odds.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
So, how this game works is that I'm going to give Scotty, and I will also participate in this game, but I'm going to give Scotty a question, and he is going to tell me the percent chance that that happens. So, if he says about 50%, then that means he's kind of either way. He doesn't really know how that could go. The closer he gets to zero, the more likely he doesn't think it'll happen. The closer he gets to 100%, the more likely he thinks it's going to happen, all the way up to 100%, which he is guaranteeing it'll happen, or at least in his mind. Mm-hmm. All right, so first one, we're going to go talk about the big men. Percent chance from here on out, from this day forward, that Chaney plays more minutes than Adrio Bailey.
Based on what we've seen, like through the first 8 games, that I know we can only really say 5 games for Reggie, I'd probably go less than 50%.
Okay. Give me a percentage.
Probably 35 or 40.
Okay.
Reggie had a really good night against Northern Kentucky, but he wasn't able to build on it against Austin Peay. And I'm going to be interested to see Saturday just how Arkansas defends Charles Bassey. And I think Reggie's the guy on the roster who's available who best matches up with Bassey. So I think Reggie could see an increase in his minutes, could get some extended run, maybe play more than 20 minutes. I think he's only done that maybe once or twice this season. Let me double check that real quick. Yeah, he's played more than 20 minutes once. That was against Northern Kentucky. Played pretty well. Had a career high 11 rebounds, 5 assists, which was fantastic. Turned the ball over only once. So I'm interested to see if he gets some extended run there. But I also think that Muss will probably stick with Adrio, because Adrio probably does have a quickness advantage against Bassey in terms of, like, you know, if Bassey fronts or Bassey posts Adrio might be able to slip around, go for steals. Like, I think Muss has really liked that about Adrio's game early in the season.
I'm going to go, you said 35. I'm going to say 45%, simply because I believe that Chaney's playing time will hinge a lot on Adrio's foul trouble. And the more playing time, the more Adrio is in foul trouble, the more playing time Chaney will get. And Adrio has really active hands.
He does.
And he likes to get in the passing lane. And that's how he is going to have to play the post position, because he isn't the biggest. And
he made a couple of really good plays, I thought, against Austin Peay, where he fronted Austin mm-hmm. Peay's big man. And passes weren't great, granted. But he still, you know, scraped out a couple of errant passes that led to turnovers. And he can do that. Adrio, I think if he gets matched up with Charles Bassey, he's got to do a great job of just playing vertically, because obviously Adrio's got – he's 5 inches shorter than Charles Bassey is and gives up a little bit of weight too. So that'll be interesting. I think Reggie, regardless if he starts or not, and you made a good point, Adrio could get in foul trouble. I think Reggie's going to play a pretty big factor in this game, no doubt.
I think that Reggie is, like you said, going to play a big factor against Bassey and a big factor against some of the bigger bigs in the SEC. You saw what Austin Peay's strategy was if you watched the game. Arkansas was going to front the bigs, and then Austin Peay just tried to throw it over. And if they would have had good passes, they probably would have had 6 to 8 more points than they already had in the game because of those passes. But some of them were a little low. They were able to be picked off. And then you saw how Arkansas – and Matt Figger, the Austin Peay head coach, came in and said this: Arkansas works on a string on defense. And so whenever Arkansas would front, they would have somebody on the backside come in and help. So if they did try and toss it over, hands would get
that weak side help is huge. Yeah. And it's kind of like just that one play. It's kind of a 3-part deal. Like, there's pressure on the perimeter, on the ball handler, on the passer, the pass maker. There's the big fronting, the guy who Austin Peay wanted to get the ball to. And you got to have active hands and be athletic and quick enough to knock balls away and scrape some of those loose balls out. And then that backside help defender is huge. Because mm-hmm. if that help side defender's not there and the pressure on the perimeter's not there, then it's just – it's an easy lob over the front man's hand. So, yeah, it's a three-part deal. And we'll see how Arkansas does these. I imagine Western Kentucky will go to that for sure.
Arkansas – or Scotty went with 35%. I went with 45%, the percent chance that Chaney plays more minutes than Bailey. All right, number two. This one's kind of fun. The percent chance Arkansas loses before the football team hires a head coach.
I'm going to go like 60-65% because I don't think Arkansas will win at Western Kentucky.
Okay.
I don't think Arkansas has got an answer for Charles Bassey. I think he probably might. I'm going to guess that he's going to have between 15, 20 points and 10 to 12 rebounds. He'll have a good game, and a couple, maybe one or two of Western Kentucky's guards will have solid games. I don't say that confidently. I'm not confident in that 60-65% pick because Eric Musselman is putting together a game plan.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives me a little bit of pause. But I think Arkansas will lose to Western Kentucky, and then Arkansas might hire a football coach on Sunday or Monday.
I'm thinking that the football coach is going to come after Western Kentucky as well, which means I'm going to go with a 10% chance. I think that Arkansas – as you said, Musselman is going to have the game plan. He hasn't given me any reason to doubt so far. So I am going to say a 10% chance, and I believe in the must-bus that he keeps things rolling, and Arkansas will have a plan against Bassey and pull out another road victory. I don't know.
What does Arkansas's win look like in your mind? Are they sloppy but get it done, or are they a little bit cleaner?
They got to shoot a little bit better. And I think Mason Jones will have a better shooting game, and Isaiah Joe, I think, will shoot better as well. But if the game gets sloppy, I think that's to Arkansas's advantage. Arkansas, the grinded out defense that they play, they want you to play that way. Because if it's pretty, then most of the time other teams are going to be more athletic than them. So they can just...
I think that's where kind of coming up with those loose 50-50 balls mm-hmm. and offensive rebounds. Arkansas is going to have a big test on the glass, obviously, with Bassey. But coming up with loose balls, like... just in the half court, and turnovers are going to be big. Because if you give Western Kentucky live ball turnovers, they've got the guard play to make you pay for it. And then just coming up with like easy points, just kind of off scramble plays. Those are big momentum generators, you know, when you're playing on the road, if the home team comes up with those. So
yeah, I'll tell you stats to watch out. Arkansas had 9 steals against Austin Peay. That'll be huge if they can get some steals. And then 6 blocks versus Austin Peay's 0. And Arkansas's had really active hands.
Shout out to Ethan Henderson. He came up with half of those.
Yes, sir. That Arkansas's had active hands, even like we talked about, they're short. But they've been able to have active hands in the passing lanes. And when Musselman said jumping when the other team jumps, they've been able to block some shots.
Jimmy Witt also blocked another 3 in the corner against Austin Peay too. So that's, what, 2 on the year?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
He's showing that he's kind of dynamic at that. Blocking 3-pointers. All right. We teased it earlier, but the percent chance that Jamario Bell gets into a live-action game, Scotty.
This might surprise people, but I'm going to go with – you're talking about for the entire year?
For the entire year.
Yeah, I'm going to go 75%.
Okay.
Arkansas plays Valparaiso in Little Rock on, what is it, December?
The 24th.
Yeah, on December 21st. Thanks for keeping me in line. Arkansas plays in North Little Rock. I should say North Little Rock.
Excuse me. Watch out.
Valparaiso, North Little Rock, December 21st. Junction City is like 2.5 hours.
It's the closest game.
Little Rock. I think you might get into that game. You know, if Arkansas takes care of business like it should, you know, if Isaiah Joe, Mason Jones, some of those guys knock some shots down and they lock up defensively, I don't see why Jamario couldn't come in and, you know, play some cleanup minutes and give some guys, you know, just a little bit of added rest. I know Arkansas doesn't play a game for 8 days after that, but it's a big game where you want to rest your bigs a little bit if you can. Jamario's 6'5", 265. He can hold his own on the interior. So I think he will play against Valpo.
I think that the percent chance that he doesn't get into the game sometime throughout the season has got to be low. And Musselman, eventually, you know, there's going to be a game where Arkansas, even if they are ahead by 10 points in an SEC game with a minute left, like, and this, you know, you're winding down middle of February or something, or maybe you're down by 10, but either way, Musselman kind of rewards this guy, gives him, you know, a minute of playing time because he's been on the team, even if the Valparaiso thing doesn't happen. So I'm going to go, just to be different from you, I'll go 80, but
we're both pretty confident.
Same sentiment there, that I think that he's going to get into a game sometime.
I would also add that I think the kind of the training camp theme that they're going back to is going to be big for Jamario.
Oh, that'll be good.
That'll get him, you know, a little bit more entrenched, because he hopped off the bus from Little Rock and just went straight to Bud Walton last weekend. Just some more time, some more practice time, some more intense practice time. I think we'll get him, you know, a little bit more comfortable and entrenched in what they're doing, and could give him a shot to get some run.
All right, we're going to wind it down here. One last question, Scotty. We teased it earlier, so we'll go to it now. You've kind of already talked about it, but what's the percentage chance that Arkansas rolls into Indiana undefeated?
Golly. I predicted that they're going to lose at Western Kentucky. This might be a cop out, but like 50-50. If you win at Western Kentucky, you're going to go into that Indiana game undefeated.
I don't think you said that they were going to lose the Western Kentucky game, so I don't think you could go 50-50.
Okay, so I'll go, what did I say? 65%?
65% chance that they would lose.
Okay, so 35% chance that they go to Indiana undefeated.
This is an exact science, in case you're wondering.
If they beat Western Kentucky, they will go into Indiana undefeated. And I don't know who Indiana has on its schedule between now and then.
They beat Florida State this week.
They've got a pretty tough schedule before Arkansas comes. They've got Wisconsin, UConn, Nebraska, Notre Dame. So they've got four other big-time teams on their schedule. I don't know if Indiana will go into it undefeated, but they've played really well. They're top 25 nationally in offensive efficiency, so they're scoring the ball really well, defending really well. They're top 35 there in defending. So could be a huge, huge game that, you know, if Arkansas wins, could push them into the top 25 right in time for a sellout conference play.
That'd be nice. I said that Arkansas would beat Western Kentucky, so I will go the percentage chance that Arkansas rolls into Indiana undefeated. I'll go with 70. 70%, that's over 50, and that way, you know, it satisfies. Like you said, if Arkansas can beat Western Kentucky, Musselman should be able to get this team focused enough so that they have that perfect record going into that Indiana game. And then you get to go to Memorial Hall, right? Is that what it's called?
Assembly Hall.
Assembly Hall. Yeah. Close. Assembly Hall.
It's one of the coolest venues in all.
And half of the guys have already been there.
Really nice. Yeah, they have. I think that's maybe a little bit of an underrated factor going into that, when majority of those guys have been there. So
it'll be interesting to see for sure. But that was Playing the Percentages, Scotty Borderline, Seth Campbell, and this has been the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America, presented by Whole Hog Sports. It's been an entertaining one, and we will see you back here next week. Arkansas only has the Western Kentucky game in between now and then. Is that correct, Scotty?
That is correct.
So we'll come back next week to talk all about Western Kentucky, Charles Bassey, and what to look forward to, giving you some Arkansas basketball information as we go into the Christmas season here in Northwest Arkansas. And hey, according to Scotty and I and our predictions, maybe Arkansas will have a head football coach by that time.
Surely.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. If you want more basketball information, be sure to check out all of the great reporters that are writing for us here at WholeHogSports.com. Scotty Borderline, Bob Holt, you know, they are covering the basketball team in and out. Scotty will give you great information all the way through, some really good stories as well. Really good story recently about Desi Sills, right? Was that recently?
About his friend?
Yes, Desi Sills and his friend.
Yeah, I wrote that. You know, I sat down in front of Desi Sills on media day at the perfect time. And Nate Allen asked him if he went back to Jonesboro at any point during the summer or recently. And Desi said he went back a few weeks, maybe the week before media day, and just asked why, what'd you go for? And he told me that his, one of his best boys passed away following a car accident. And so dedicated his season to him. And, you know, he hasn't gotten his three ball to fall the way that he'd wanted to, but he's still making great contributions. And he's been a big part to this team. He's given them a lift on both ends, even though the three hasn't fallen.
And that is a tease. You can check out that online at wholehogsports.com. Appreciate you listening to us. You can hit that subscribe button on wherever you are listening to this podcast right now. And we appreciate you. And we'll see you back here next week.